Over the past couple of years, I've been noticing a massive trend inside of the expat space online. Many people are talking about, oh, people are leaving. This is why you shouldn't move to this country. This is why it's horrible to move to this country. Or be careful of this, be careful of that. And I'll admit, I've made a few videos about maybe why not to move to a certain place, why you should consider maybe rethinking your move abroad. But in this episode, I wanted to come at things on a more positive note and talk about some of the things that I really enjoy about living here in Portugal. Some of these things, for those of you who are regular watchers or listeners to Not Your Average Globetrotter, might not be so surprised by what I'm going to say. Some people might think that, one of the best things about living in Portugal might be the cost of living. But for me, with how things have been increasing, I'm not sure that I could really say that the cost of living here is going to be on the top of my list, or I'm not sure if it would actually make it onto my list. Granted, the cost of living here is going to be far less than what you would spend in so many other places, but in comparison to what it was even just a couple of years ago when I finally arrived here, 2.5 years ago now, and even having seen prices of what things were way before, I would say it's concerning. And just about with almost everything everywhere, you're seeing a difference in the prices from what they were a couple of years ago till now. But in Portugal, they're to the extent that I might say that factor is not quite there for me. But like I said, I want to get into some of the things that for me are the positives about my life here in Portugal. I'm Rafael Di Furia. Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. Roll that intro. The first thing that is for me the most just top priority anywhere that I'm going to be would be the lifestyle. It has to be compatible with me. It has to be compatible with the life that I want to live. And I can say in Portugal that for the most part, it is that way. Being able to take time. Like in Italy, there is often the mentality of working to live rather than living to work, that you are able to take time to enjoy what life has to offer and take time to go meet with friends, take time to go out into the countryside, take time to do some of the things that you need to do. I mean, granted, like everywhere else, of course, you're going to have your grind and your hustle that you're going to have to do from day to day. But in Portugal, I feel as though I see people of all socioeconomic levels enjoying what life has to offer here in one way or another. Differently, maybe not all doing the same things, but going out, meeting for friends with coffee. Like I'm saying, I'm repeating myself here. And actually, I mean, even just the other day, a couple friends of mine, they said, hey, we're close by to you. Come meet us and we'll grab a drink. So like, okay, well, yeah, I felt like getting out. I needed to just kind of get out in the fresh air, enjoy the nice weather that we've been having recently. And what was nice is that I could just walk out of my front door, go to a place close by, and then get back to work after. I had that option to do that. I mean, granted, that's something that's more specific to my life and how I've set things up for me. But this is why, of course, I always talk about if you can set your life up in such a way that you're able to work to an extent remotely or partially in person, partially remotely, kind of like what I do, then you're setting yourself up for a really interesting situation where you potentially can have some flexibility. Is it always going to be perfect? No, but it is something that in Portugal, especially if you do have the ability to do that sort of thing, it's a wonderful place to be able to enjoy. The enjoyment of the art of doing nothing. I mean, in Italy, you have the la dolce far niente, the sweetness of doing nothing. And I would say that also exists in Portugal to some extent. I mean, maybe to a very similar extent as it could in Italy, but it's done in a different way. This next one, though, may sound a bit shocking, is like that it's one of my favorite things in Portugal, but the bureaucracy here, in comparison to so many other places that I've lived in, it's so much easier to deal with and things function more and they're more transparent than some other places that I've been in. I'm not saying any specific countries. Please don't insinuate anything about a specific place by what I'm saying. But I'm just saying that the way that things work here is more comfortable than some other countries that I've lived in. I've lived in a few. And I can say for even being an Italian citizen living here, there are certain aspects of life that are maybe a little bit more straightforward here as an Italian living in Portugal than it would be for an Italian living in Italy. I'm talking about just on a day-to-day basis, not dealing with the Italian system, but dealing with the Portuguese system as an Italian. It's actually been really interesting to see living as a dual citizen expat in Portugal versus dual citizen Italian citizen living in Italy and having that experience of being able to compare and contrast the two nations, there are certain things that I really like about Italy and that I really do think are wonderful. But then there are certain things about living in Portugal that I think are really wonderful as well and also fit what I would be looking for out of life. And of course, whenever I mention the word expat, I have to get into the discussion expat versus immigrant. If you have a problem with the word expat, that's on you. I use the two interchangeably. If you put a limit on that word, that's on you. I'm not going to get into the debate in this video. If you want to check out my opinions on why I would interchangeably use expat and immigrant, I've got a whole episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter about that. And if it's not in the description below or the comment section below, let me know and I'll be happy to link that. But another thing though that I think is really wonderful about living in Portugal that I actually haven't taken advantage of so far, other than maybe an afternoon trip to Spain, would be the ease of going to another European country. Really traveling most places in the world, but the ease of being able to travel to most major European locations is really, really nice. I mean, I'll say you'll have more connections to more places from Lisbon, but even from Porto, you have a lot of options available to you. Maybe from Porto to certain locations, you only have a couple flights per week. So that could get annoying if you're trying to get for a certain place on a certain day of the week and you can't be there and then you have to stay too long, then that becomes an issue. But I do think that it's really nice to have that option available to you. I mean, even though the cost of flights is not as cheap as it used to be, like 5 or 10 euros, 20 euros round trip, the flights are still within a realm that it is doable. Cost of hotels, though, that is maybe a different story in this day and age. But if you're looking to have the experience of being in Europe and you've never been to this part of the world before and you're living in Portugal, it's definitely a great jump-off point. But just before I get into the next point, I do want to say a huge thank you to those of you who helped to make these episodes of Not Your Average Globetrotter possible on a monthly basis through RafaelDiFuria.com/Patreon, Patreon.com/RafaelDiFuria, as well as the one-time support, such as the thanks button here on YouTube, as well as RafaelDiFuria.com/support. And of course, I want to thank those of you who help in a very different way through sharing these episodes, as well as leaving your thoughts down in the comment section below. Whether you agree with my points or feel as though you have a different light that you'd like to shed on the topics of these videos, feel free to take part in that conversation down in the comment section below. Of course, though, because this is an episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter, we've got to talk about food. Priorities. Always have to keep those straight. It is very important. It is truly vital to this project that food remains a center point of what we do here. But all seriousness and jokes aside, Francesinha. This is absolutely one of my favorite things about living in Portugal, specifically in Braga, specifically here in the north of Portugal, having access to this delicious monstrosity, the beauty of this beast to be tamed on your dinner plate is a delight. Granted, it's not for everybody, but I personally really, really like them. One of the things, though, that I will say is that a lot of people do end up trying them and not liking them, or they just don't like the way that it looks. Maybe they don't like the sauce. But what I would say is it's very important to try a good one. The first one that I ever tried, I thought was disgusting. It was so, so bad. I was ready to never eat another francesinha. But I let a friend of mine talk me into going to the top of the top, the cream of the crop, the best of the best francesinha house in Portugal, or at least what some consider it to be, especially people from Braga. And it truly changed my mind on what this sandwich has to offer. For those of you who don't know, feel free to check out the episode that I did where I had a couple of francesinhas in the same day comparing Porto and Braga. And basically, if you've never seen this before, it is a layer of bread and then meat, some cold cuts. And then on top of that, you have another layer of bread. On top of that, you have cheese. And then they bake that, they melt it, and then they put this sauce on top. The traditional way is with an egg. I'm personally not a fan of it, but that is the traditional way. And they just drown this thing in sauce, and it is out of this world. I'm getting hungry as I'm recording this. I shouldn't have recorded this video so late at night. Now I'm thinking about it, and it's too late for me to be able to go get one. This is one of my favorite things. This is probably really at the top of the list. This list has been not in any kind of order, but if there were an order, if there were a thing that would be in the first position, that might be it. But again, all jokes and seriousness aside, Another thing that I really do enjoy about living in Portugal is the sense and feeling of security. I'm not going to say that it's perfect. It is considered to be one of the safest countries in the world. But of course, like everywhere, you do have problems, and it's not like you don't hear about things happening, but maybe some of the crimes that you hear about are not as severe as other locations around the globe. But of course, like anywhere, you have to keep your wits about you, and you have to really know that you're not putting yourself into a situation that you don't need to be put into. Taking unnecessary risks is just not a good idea, regardless of where you are. You have to always keep a base minimum level of common sense within the actions that you're taking on a day-to-day basis. But I will say specifically, using Braga as an example, this does not go for Porto and Lisbon, but how people feel comfortable here, even with their things. Like, for example, I feel like I very rarely ever see a bike locked up to something, like a fence or a bike rack. Not that there are so many bike racks in this city, but normally when I see a bike locked up, it's only like the wheels locked up to the frame. That's kind of the only thing that I would say I see here. But also something that I've seen many times that I'm always shocked by are people at cafes, either doing work, schoolwork, whatever it may be, for doesn't even matter why they're on their computer, but getting up, leaving their laptop at the table unattended, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, walking away from it, going to the bathroom, having a chat with a friend, having a cigarette, having this, doing that, and then coming back and it's still there, safe, in one piece, untouched. I think I've mentioned this on other episodes of Not Your Average Globetrotter, being able to even leave a cell phone on a table, not something that I personally would do, and I definitely would not recommend this in most big cities in the world, but being able to just have your phone on the table at a cafe, outside, on the street, it's not something that I've seen any issues with. Granted, in a place maybe more like Lisbon, I most definitely wouldn't do it there, but in Braga, I see it all the time. I personally wouldn't leave a phone on the table for more than a couple of moments within my eyesight. I definitely wouldn't walk away from it, but it's something that I've seen here, and I'm always surprised, but people seem to usually come back to their phones. I don't know of a time I've ever heard of someone having their phone stolen here. Not that it couldn't happen, though. But even though safety is something that I do think is really a wonderful factor about living in Portugal, I feel as though, and I'm not backing this up with any numbers, but in the short time that I've lived here, this 2.5 years, it feels as though there's been a shift slightly, and things are not as good as they were a couple of years ago, but they're still, again, much better here than they are in many other places. Just as an example, I feel as though I've been hearing more about women being followed during even the middle of the day or even at night, but I've heard about some odd situations in the past, I don't know, say few months that make me wonder about how things are looking, but I would say it's still within the realm of being in the outlier kind of category of these types of things happening. And each one of these stories that I've heard about, the individual ended up being fine after the fact. It's just that it was very unsettling and could have led to something much worse than being followed. But again, it's important to keep your wits about you so that you can maybe avoid something worse happening. But again, I do want to focus on the positive sides about what I enjoy about living in Portugal. And again, I've mentioned it many times, one of the big things for me is the ease of being able to walk around a city like Braga. Not all cities are super walkable, but getting around in general is very doable. I mean, if we're talking about specifically, again, Braga, because that's been the majority of my experience of my time here, other than like a couple of days here and there in different other locations, the cost of getting around, even like say for most places that I might need to get to in Braga, would be maybe about $3.50 on Uber. But then Bolt, for example, I recently saw a promotion that brought the price to €2.50. And so that for me, as somebody who has their life set up in a way that a car is not necessary, it makes it even more convenient. I don't need a car at this point in my life. I could see a point where a car would be not quite a necessity, but definitely useful. But I'm definitely not at that point in my life yet. And so even, for example, if I want to go to Porto, to get there and back round trip on the regular train is going to be less than €8. If I need to get to the airport, it's going to be, what, like €16 round trip? And so having the ability to get around is something that I really like about living in a city in Portugal. If I were in a village, it would be a different situation and it wouldn't be as convenient. It might not be convenient at all, but this is something that I would say is something that I enjoy about Portugal, but being in a city in Portugal. But not all cities will have this level of convenience. But these last two points, I want to combine into one overall point, and that is going to be the language and the locals. I think they're very intertwined because you need the language to be able to communicate with the locals. However, in my experience in Portugal, people are very welcoming and help a lot when you make an effort. When you try to make the effort to use their language, people will try to make the effort to make things easy for you. However, there are some places where people will just go straight into using English. And being a native English speaker, this definitely does help from time to time. Like I've said before, there are times when I just want to practice Portuguese and the person's speaking to me in English. And then it's just, we go down the rabbit hole of continuing an interaction in English. But being able to accomplish certain things here in English, or to be able to interact with the systems here, and this even gets into the bureaucracy aspect of living here in Portugal. Things are done here in such a way that it's made easier for people who aren't from here. Not that it's made easy totally, but that there is maybe a bit of less friction when trying to do things within your daily life or within the system overall. For example, I can't say I've ever heard of another country where expats, foreigners, will be interested in submitting their own tax return. I've never been in a country where that was the case. I've only ever been in places where people will hire somebody because of the complexity dealing with the system and to submit and to do this and to do that. Whereas in Portugal, I know a number of individuals who have decided, and even people who don't really speak Portuguese all that well, maybe a little bit of Portuguese, maybe almost none, but with just a short meeting with an accountant here that maybe you could spend 50 euros, or if you're overspending a couple hundred euros, you could get someone to tell you, okay, you have to input this code on this page and you do this amount and kind of tell you the little details to be able to do it on your own. I think that's really amazing that that's even possible to do, because at the end of the day, these are things that you can just do online. You don't have to submit like actual paperwork. And if you need to make a transfer, you can do that online as well, theoretically. But having a system in place where you can pay your personal taxes or do your personal tax return in such a way, I think really says something. Like I said, I've been in so many other places where it's such a daunting task that people don't even remotely think about it. But here, it's within the realm of doable. But then, even just on a daily basis, just like I said, when you make the effort, people can be so friendly here and so welcoming and so warm. And like, if you are trying to figure out something, that they'll help you to accomplish what it is that you need to accomplish. Or I don't know if this is for the whole country, but again, I'm thinking about things through the lens of having been living here in Braga. If you see someone who is elderly or has difficulties with mobility, or they clearly need help with something, like maybe an old lady at the supermarket and they're trying to grab something off the top shelf, someone is going to help them with what they're needing to do. Maybe you see a pregnant woman walking down the street. I was just talking about this with someone the other day, that his words almost verbatim were, if his pregnant wife were walking down the street carrying bags of groceries, there is no way ever, there's zero chance that anybody would let her walk up the street without carrying those bags for her, or at least offering to help her some distance. And I fully agreed with that. I've seen that before. I've seen people going out of their way to help someone that they don't know, or at least it seems like they don't know. I mean, people have even helped me. People have helped friends of mine. People have helped family of mine. It's really amazing to see the level of community and how the community interwines and weaves within itself to support the people who are here. I'm not talking about like social services. I'm talking about people who are social, being part of their community, being real community members, like maybe how I would imagine things would have been, like, I don't know, in the 40s or 50s. It's really nice to see people treating each other like humans and not just cold towards each other, which I've seen in other places. So it's really refreshing. So anyway, this is where I'm going to round out this episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. And of course, if you're wanting to help make more episodes of Not Your Average Globetrotter possible, all of the links are down in the comment section below, as well as the thanks button here on YouTube. But of course, I'm Rafael Di Furia. Stay safe and healthy out there, and I'll see you all next time for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. Later.